pray first, then after that, we will actually go straight into the lesson first. Okay, then after that, at the end, then we will do the quiz. Okay, so don't be too concerned. I'm sure you all know it, one is just there. Okay, yeah. All right, so okay, let's have a word of prayer first, then we'll go into today's lessons, all right, with regards to Christian growth and victory. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. We can come to listen to your word, not just to listen, but to be taught by your word. That for us, you will help us to grow in Christ. The Lord, every time we come, we know that it is an important time, a time where we just sit down, open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds to understand your precious word. I pray that you will speak to us in a special way as we look at the importance of your word in our Christian growth. I pray also you help the students not to be concerned about the test, but Lord, that you will help them as they strive, Lord, to remember the things that they need to learn. So Lord, thank you for your precious word. Well, thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, today we'll be looking at four more elements of Christian growth. Okay, what are the first four? Abiding in Christ, putting on, putting off, confessing of sin, and pressing on. Okay, today we're going to look at four more elements of Christian growth. Okay, on top of the four. Okay, we're going to be looking at devouring the word, basically to make sure that God's word goes into our hearts and minds. Okay, protecting the word. When we hear the word, what do we have to do with the word of God? Separation from the world. If we don't separate from the world, we have a tendency to not love the word as much, and as a result, we will not grow. And especially separation from false teachers. And false teachers can come from anywhere, okay? But today, we primarily will look at the first one because we need some time for the quiz, okay? So, let's dive in. Let's look at the purpose of the word of God. The purpose of the word of God. Now, there are many verses that we're going to look. The God's word in the Bible has many purposes, okay? Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 9 first. Okay, what I'll do is I'll give you Bible verses, okay? Then after that, when I call that verse, you read it, then we will go into it, okay? Okay, so we'll be looking at the purpose of the Word of God. Okay, Psalm 119, verse 9 to 11, what does he read? Okay, the first thing, the first purpose of the Word of God is cleansing. In Psalm 119, verse 9 to 11, wherewithal, in other words, what is the way? How are we going to cleanse ourselves? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Every day we will bathe because we are dirty from this dust of this world. You know, you go through the world, your legs get dirty, and sometimes you touch things and all that, you get very dirty, okay? So we need to be clean, okay, outwardly. But the Bible says in Psalm 119, how are we going to clean our ways, our lifestyle? How are we going to clean up those areas that are dirty in our lives? The Bible says in 119 verse 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. How is a young man going to clean up his ways? Okay, now this is important for us as Christians in general, because if we have bad habits, if we have things that we know is not right, the way to actually deal with that is actually to go to the word of God. Brother Johnny, I've been reading, but my life is still the same. The second part of the verse says, by taking heed. The word take heed means to obey. The word of God is for our obedience. It's not just for reading. A lot of Christians read the Bible, but say no change. The reason why no change is because you don't apply. Okay, if I give you $10, okay, you got $10. I say, I got $10, very good. But $10 is not going to benefit you unless you use it to buy something or use it to eat, use it to buy your books. Then it benefits you. Does it make sense? Many Christians read the word, but they don't apply it. And the purpose of the word of God is to cleanse us. And I think it's a very simple illustration. If you go into the bathroom, you want to take you just stand there. Okay? I'm in the bathroom, but you don't do anything. You don't take the shampoo, you don't take the soap, then what's the point of being there? You need to take the soap to apply so that you can clean up yourself. Okay, so that is the purpose of the word of God. In verse 10, let me just continue to read. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. In Psalm 119, verse 10, the psalmist says, I have sought you with my whole heart. That means with my whole sincerity of heart, I have sought for you Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Now, what is the psalmist saying? But I thought you already given your heart, right, to God. No, even after the psalmist had given his heart to God, he realized that, hey, I'm still sinful and there's a tendency for me to move away. And he's asking God, don't let me walk away from you. Okay? Then in verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart. That's memorization of the Bible. That I might not sin against you. The only thing that will stop you from sinning is the word of God. For parents, the way to help our children to reduce their sinning or help them to actually be more aware of spiritual things so that they don't do wrong. You know, a lot of parents say, don't do this. And the way to actually get them not to do wrong is to memorize scripture and to apply it. But the most powerful way is for us as parents to do it with them. And they realize that actually dad and mom does that, therefore it's so important, I have to do that too. And you'll find that your children will grow in strength when it comes to dealing with the wrong of this world. Okay, so number one, for cleansing. Number two, Psalm 119, verse 105. Okay, thy word is a lamp to my feet, like to my path. Okay? Thy word is a lamp to my feet, like to my path. The purpose of the Bible is for wisdom, knowing of what to do next. Okay? And it's very important for us to understand that today we have LED light, we have torch light that goes very far. In the past, just remember in the past, last time they don't carry torches. Their torches is like a hurricane, you know, the hurricane lamp that shines only nearby. It shines only very nearby. So every time they move, they got to move the lamp forward so they know where, and they move forward. That's why the psalmist said, thy word is a lamp to my feet nearby and a light to my path, which tells us that every step of the way, we need God's wisdom in our lives. And that's very, very true for all of us because life is unpredictable. We don't know what's going to be in the future. But we do need enough light to go the next part. And say, God, help me. God, help me. Every time we need to seek God's word for wisdom for the next step. Okay? So the next one is wisdom. Then Psalm 119, verse 114. Okay, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Okay, this is actually another verse later on. But it's for protection. The word of God is up here. You are my hiding place and my shield, and I hope in thy word. That word is my protection. Okay, the Bible also says in another verse, which may be more apt, the word of God is a strong refuge, a high tower. We run into it and are safe. Okay? And how does the word of God keep us safe? How does the word of God keep us safe? God gives us a lot of warnings. And when we stay in the middle of God's word, say, don't do this, do this. Example, it keeps us safe. Does that make sense? For example, as a parent, you may tell your child, please don't walk to the river because you may fall into it. And you may be eaten up by the piranhas or the crocodiles, okay? So if your child will listen to your word, then he will be safe. But your child will not listen to your word, he may fall into the water and be eaten by the crocodiles, okay? The piranhas. So in the same way, in the journey through life, God gave us his word to protect us. But many people don't want to listen to God's word, and so they say, why can't I do this? You will find as parents, as you grow up, your children will say, why can't I do this? What is wrong with this? What is wrong with this? Firstly, you need to be able to answer them. Number two, actually, if their heart is set on it, it's very hard to stop them. But you know, you can throw back the question, what's right with it? How will God be honored if you do this? Okay? So, the word of God protect us. So, the next one is Luke chapter 8, verse 21. Okay, Luke 11, verse 28. Okay, the word of God, the purpose is for our obedience. The word of God is for our obedience. If we don't obey God's word, we won't have God's blessings and we will not be protected by God. And all the purposes of God, all the purpose of God fail in our life because we don't obey his word. Not that he doesn't. God's purpose is still going to stand. Okay? But God's word is for our obedience. It's a very simple illustration. As fathers or mothers, we give instruction and we tell our children, if they listen, they'll be successful. You know, study hard, stay away from bad company, don't lie, etc. If they would just listen, their life will be smooth. When you do wrong, just confess it. Yes, do the corrections and move on. Okay, in life, that's what we need to do. Same thing as our Heavenly Father. God actually gave us His Word so that we can obey it. Now, the reason why it's for obedience specifically, many of us like to look at the outcomes, right? Actually, the outcomes is depending on our obedience. Okay? Like 35 years ago, when I was 35 years ago, I think so, 1996, I think, when I was at KK Hospital, one of the things that the company actually does is they learn from the Japanese. The Japanese had this production philosophy. When you concentrate on the process, the product will be okay. When you do the process right, the product will come out okay. Do you know what I mean? That was a Japanese manufacturing policy. So they are very stringent with the supervision at every point. Because they know that if they do this right, the outcome will be fine. We need to be doing our obedience fine. And don't be worried about the outcome. Because when we do the obedience rightly, the outcome will be a blessing. Okay? And this is a very important principle for all of us to understand. And sometimes we don't obey God's word because of certain practicalities. Remember, what is practical may not be spiritual. What is practical may not be spiritual. If it's not spiritual, it will always be doomed to failure. You may be successful in this life, but you will never be successful in the life of God. I'll give you an example. There was one particular friend of mine who went to Bible college, and after Bible college, he came back. He became the interim pastor. But he also knew that he has to get a job to work. So he worked very hard, and because the pastor left or went furlough or something, he became the interim pastor. Okay? He said one thing and did one thing which really baffled me as an interim pastor. When I spoke to him about certain things, he said one thing: "Johnny, we serve God part-time. He's the interim pastor." In my eye, it's like, what? Okay, so one thing. Another thing was, when he had to work, he would skip church, even though he was the interim pastor. You know? Today, he is backslided. He's not serving God at all. He's just in the church that tries to be involved. But, you know, after that 4 years of his life, he backslided. And when I preach at the church that he was at, finally, after 4 years, he joined the church. But now he's created problems in that church and all that kind of thing. And all because of one wrong move. You know, my children and I, we were reading one verse in the Bible about Esau. Okay, last week, the men's discipleship, we actually had the idea of the Esau and Jacob. Okay? Now, what Esau did was he actually sold his spiritual birthright so that he can eat something. Remember the story? He was very hungry. He asked Jacob, can you give me something to eat? And Jacob said, give me your spiritual birthright and I will give you something to eat. And Esau said, what's the point of having these spiritual things? Oh, I'm very hungry, I'm going to die. So he made a spiritual decision, physical decision to give up his spiritual birthright. Okay? Now, the most important thing, let's turn to Hebrews. Okay, this is an aside. I just want to highlight the importance of obedience to God's word. Okay? So I think some of you may or may not know the story. I think most of all you know. But basically, Esau and Jacob was... Esau was supposed to be the promised line, but Esau actually has a blessing. He's the older one. God was supposed to bless him with the birthright, the spiritual blessing. Okay? But because he was hungry, and Jacob said, you give me your birthright and I'll give you something to eat. Okay? Let's exchange. Okay? You've got something I want, I've got something you want, so let's do an exchange. And so Esau said, okay, I'll give you my spiritual birthright, just give me something to eat. And Esau made a decision based on his flesh. That means something that he wanted at the moment, but he gave away something spiritual, something very important. Later on, in a few chapters later, when Isaac was about to die, the father, and is supposed to bless the eldest one, Jacob actually deceived the father, because the father was very blind. So basically, Jacob took the blessing away from Esau, and when Esau came in, it was his turn to be blessed. Like, no, the blessing was supposed to be Esau, but Isaac said, I already given the blessing. It's not. I have no more blessing to give to you. Okay? Does that make sense? I think most of you know the story. Let's turn to Hebrews 11, or Hebrews 12, and looking on hindsight, Looking on hindsight, what the Bible said about the Esau situation. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 16, okay? Hebrews 12 and verse 16. The Bible says, let's read together. 12 verse 16, ready? 1, 2, go. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Verse 17, for ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. The phrase, no place of repentance, is a very convicting and very scary verse for every Christian. Okay, we were discussing it and we realized as we studied it, the place, no place for repentance means once he make that decision is irreversible. You cannot change the outcomes. The Bible says he found no place for repentance. It's not no place for repentance, he's found no place of repentance. He cannot find any other place to go back. You look at the verse, he found no place of repentance, even though he sought it carefully with tears. Because after the dad says, I cannot bless you anymore. Because dad, there must be one more. There must be one more. At the time when he wanted the blessing, it was very urgent. But Isaac said, there's no more. It's gone. You know, I was telling my children, there are decisions in your life, the moment you make it, is irreversible. It's irreversible. As parents, our duty is to help our children see the dangers involved and plead with them to make the right decisions. Because once they make a wrong decision, some decisions, thank God, is reversible. It can be confessed, forsaken, and you can kind of move things back. But some things cannot. When they make a wrong decision, it is irreversible. And once they make the wrong decision, it is irreversible. There is no way you can undo. Let's say as a pastor, I commit adultery. That decision is irreversible. Forever, I lose my right to be a pastor anymore. There are certain things that are irreversible. And that's why the Bible is for obedience. You see, we know we always want to, sometimes as Christians, why can't I do this? We can't. But the Bible actually warns us that certain things in life are really irreversible. Like Jeff Scott, was a pastor of First Baptist Church in Indiana, and he decided to commit the foolish thing about committing immorality with a teenage girl. Okay? He's in prison now for 10 years as a pastor of the biggest church, I think, in Indiana. I don't know whether his wife left him or not, but, you know, the pastor is in jail for 10 years, he lost his ministry, and no way he can go back to a pastorate. Because his decision to sin is irreversible. The decision is wrong, it's irreversible. Okay? And so, I want to encourage us, the Bible is for obedience. And I'll say this, non-negotiable obedience. Because, understand this, when God gave the word, you know, there was one time I was studying, I realized one thing. Every word of God, God put his entire character of wisdom into every word. So when we obey his word, we are wise. Does that make sense? Because God's entire infinite wisdom is infused into the few words for us. And all we need to do is obey it. Once we obey it, we are wise. That's Hebrew wisdom. Hebrew wisdom is God said it, I obey it, I'm wise. That's all. And some things we may not understand or may not be able to explain, it doesn't matter. It matters that we obey God's word. Once we obey God's word, God then begin to help us to understand why. Okay? Any questions? So God's word is for our obedience. That's why the Bible says, my mother and my brethren are those which hear the word of God and do it. Okay? The next one, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Of the heart. Okay, this is the verse that we memorize every time before we eat. The Bible actually says the word of God is quick and powerful. The word quick means alive and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. piercing even into the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow. And he's a discerner of the thoughts. Now, it's very interesting. The word, you know what's the meaning of discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart? The word discerner means someone who understands. Someone who understands. He discerns. He can understand what you're thinking and what's in your heart. So that's why a total stranger can come to a church service and feel that the preacher is talking about him. You know why? It's not the preacher talking about him. It's God's word exposing the heart. Because God's word looks exactly at our heart, and he knows, because God is the one who created us. So when the word of God is preached, sometimes some evangelists say, there may be a young man in this room who may be making a, is going to make a wrong decision, and I urge you to turn to the right, you know. Because God actually opens the heart through the word, okay? So the word of God searches the heart. It searches your heart. So that's why it's so important to be in the word, because God then exposes ourselves for who we are, then we can get right. Okay? I think many of you know that Sister Felicia's grandma passed away this Thursday, I think, Wednesday. And, you know, they didn't know one thing. She had a stroke, then after she had a heart attack, then I think on the way to the hospital, I think she passed away. But, you know, the doctors would, before she passed away, the doctors actually found fourth stage cancer in the colon. And all the medical, she's 89, and all the medical tests didn't pick up only at the last time when she was actually, blood was coming out from the stools. Then when they checked, they found out it was a fourth stage colon cancer. Okay, but thank God after that she passed away, so there was no pain or whatever. But you know what? Human beings, we have our methods, but we can never detect things like this. No, but God's word can detect things that are in our hearts. That's why we need to remember, as a Christian, we want God to show us who we are so that we can change. Okay? So God's word searches the heart. The next one, 2 Peter, I didn't do this, but later on we can do this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Okay, sorry. So the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, every word of God is perfect. That means it's the best ingredient, the best nutrition for your soul. And it's profitable. The word profitable means useful for what? For doctrine, for teaching you what is right. I always like this, teaching what is right. For correction, teaching what is wrong. No, for reproof, teaching what is wrong. Then for correction, teaching you how to get right. And for instruction in righteousness, teaching you how to stay right. Okay? We need this. We are not perfect. And so what God tells us is what is right, tells us when we are wrong, tells us to correct ourselves, and tells us how to stay right. That's the word of God. That's why as believers, we must be devouring the word, which is the title of this part. We need to devour the word because it's the word of God that shows us all these things, okay? The Bible says also in verse 17 that the man of God may be truly furnished. The word truly furnished, if it's printed in the England, if your Bible is printed in the US, you may have thoroughly, okay? But the word truly means inside out. Thoroughly is overall. Okay, some people argue that, nah, that's just the same. But the word truly gives a better understanding of the fact that God wants to change us from the inside out so that we can be ready for every good work. Whenever God calls us to do something, we will already be ready. The word of God is important for our growth and service. The purpose of this discipleship class is so that next time when there's someone who needs the word of God and say, why should I be baptized? You can go to the lesson on baptism and teach them. You'll be ready for service. Okay? Okay? So the next one, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. It was. Okay, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Okay, and so our spiritual word of God. The word of God is for our spiritual warfare. Okay, when Jesus was confronted with temptation in the wilderness against the devil, he didn't try to use his own in thinking. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Let me ask you a question. Let's say if Brother Joshua, if you are discouraged, how do you encourage yourself? Okay, what verse comes to your mind? Okay, anyone can help him? I know it's a bit put you on the spot kind of thing. If you're discouraged, what verse comes to your mind? You cannot make it for your exam. Or you feel that, oh, I'm really scared. So what verse comes to your mind? Sorry? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman in order. Okay. What are you studying? Okay. You must know the situation. I'm hitting my exams. I'm very anxious. And I don't know whether I'll make it or not. What verse can you use to encourage yourself? Don't be stressed. See the eyes sticking. Anyone else? Anyone can help him? Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Okay? That's in 1 Peter 5 verse 7. Any other passage? Sorry? Which is? For nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Okay, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. What else? Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Okay, that's good. Okay, so what if you're going through a crisis? What passage in the Bible will come and encourage you? When you're going through a crisis in your life. Sorry? Okay, cast the burden unto the Lord, and shall sustain thee, he shall not suffer you to be move, right? Okay, that's Psalm 52, chapter 55, verse 22. Okay. Can I say this? All our academic studies will not help us in times of our tragedies. You cannot say, okay, I just have to I'm facing a tragedy now. I just memorize Pythagoras' theorem. Pythagoras' theorem is not going to help you in your tragedy. It's the word of God. And you know, this is something so important. We can be the professors of our field, but it's only the Bible that can help us to stand in times of need. In spiritual warfare, that simply means when we're fighting for the souls of our loved ones, spiritual warfare has the idea of a few areas. One is a big area. One is actually fighting temptations. Okay, some of us are very prone to falling into certain temptations. So how do we fight the temptation? Okay, let's say I'm a kleptomaniac. You know what's a kleptomaniac? Basically, it's just a fancy word to say that I like to steal. Okay, right? Kleptomania is stealing. Kleptomania, okay, yeah. I'm a kleptomaniac, okay? So how do you fight stealing? What verse comes to your mind? Let him that stole steal no more. Okay, thou shalt not steal. Okay, that's a very clear word of God that puts that thing in your heart and say, no, I'm not going to steal. Okay? The word of God, human arguments are not going to stop us from sinning. Can I say this? When we put ourselves in temptations already, the only way they're going to get you out is two things. One, get out of the situation. Number two, the word of God. When you try to rationalize, actually, it's not so bad. One, you know, it's not so bad. It is always bad. If you're in a situation, you have no word of God, you're always... You know, many Christians fall because they put themselves in a situation of compromise. They try to reason why it's okay. The next thing they know, they fall. But the more you do it, the more you convince yourself it's nothing wrong. Even though there are three other Christian friends who say, no, you shouldn't be doing that. And then if you don't listen to that, you know, God actually uses Christian people around you to pull you out as well. Okay? So, the word of God is used for spiritual warfare. Okay? The next one is Psalm 119, verse 81. I hope in thy word. And then this I think Jairo read 114. Tim, you want to read the last one? Okay, I hope in thy word. The word of God is our hope. It's our hope. Okay? The word of God is our hope. When you cannot see anything else, the word of God is your hope. Okay? Okay, that's the purpose of the word of God. Let's look at the power of the Word of God. There's a few things. Let's look at John chapter 6, verse 60. Maybe we'll get a new person. Brother Gideon, you can turn to John chapter 6, verse 60. And then the rest of us turn to 1 Peter 1 and verse 25. Okay. You know, the Word of God gives life. The Bible says, Jesus himself said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Don't underestimate the power of God's Word. This is not just written by any man. This Bible that we study every Sunday every Monday at FBI, every Friday during prayer meeting, every Saturday during youth, gives life. It gives life. Okay? Jesus made it clear. He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It helps you. It actually creates life. For those, a person who is dead, in a person who is not a Christian, it can actually help a person understand. And when they believe, God actually gives life through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. Okay, the Word of God does give life. Okay, don't underestimate the power of the Word of God. Okay, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, I think we're all there. Let me just turn there. 1 Peter 1, verse 25. Okay, ready? Let's read that. Ready? Verse 23. I don't know why 25. 23. Ready? 1, 2, go. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God gives lives. We are born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. Okay? Which liveth and abideth forever. God's word will abide forever. Okay? When you and I have passed away, God's word will still be there. Okay? So it gives life. The next one, it has the power to transform. Let's talk about 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. It has the power to transform. 2 Corinthians 3, and verse 18. I think I explained before, but I explain again. The Bible says in verse 18, we all, with open face, the idea of open face means transparency, honesty, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. The word glass there, in reference, has to do with the Bible. Okay? In the book of James chapter 1, the Bible talks about the Bible being a glass. So every time we look at a glass, we look at who? I'm not talking about the glass can look through on. I'm talking about a mirror. The glass means a mirror. So, Catherine, in the morning, you look at the glass, who do you see? Ah! See yourself, okay? You look in the mirror, you see yourself, okay? So when we look at the mirror, referring to the Bible, we look at the glory of God. The glory of God is in the Bible, but we look at ourselves. But we look at ourselves and say, nah, ourselves versus the glory of God in the Bible doesn't look very good, okay? But the Bible says, are changed into the same image. That means we, looking at God in the Bible, we are changed into this image, step by step, as by the glory of the Lord. Okay, as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Word of God transforms us. Last time, I may be a thief, but when God says, thou shalt not steal, I say, yes, Lord, I'm not going to steal anymore, but I'm going to work with my hands. From a thief, I become a hard worker. Why? The Word of God transforms me as I allow it to work in my heart. Does that make sense? Okay? The Word of God has transformation power. Okay? It can change us. The next one, it defeats the devil. Just now we talked about that. When Jesus dealt with Satan, he didn't use his own philosophy or thinking. He used "it is written." Okay? And he breaks the hardened heart. Let's turn to Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Okay, let's read together. Ready? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Sometimes our own heart can be hardened like a rock. Our own heart can be hardened like a rock. But when the word of God is preached, it actually breaks our hearts. Okay? You know, there are many times when I was a teenager, under the preaching of God's word, I just had to say, Lord, I surrender. I'm not going to fight you anymore. Especially when you're holding on to sin, or you're holding on to things you're not right. When the preacher preaches that God is speaking to me, and I actually had to just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Like when I went to the Philippines, for example, when Brother Clark preached through the word of God, God says, and God can break your hardened hearts. Maybe we're stubborn in a certain area, but maybe when we hear the word of God, or we read the Bible, say God says, huh, this is one area you have to deal with. And God can actually break the hardened heart. And he uses the Holy Spirit to do that. He breaks our hardened heart through the Holy Spirit as we hear the word of God. All right? The power of God's word. Don't underestimate it. There was one situation whereby there was this teenager who was living in sin for many years. Okay, sorry. Yeah, about a year. And I had the privilege of preaching at a Bible study fortnightly, I think, for many months. I was preaching through the book of James. And after about 4 months, teenager actually came to me and said, Rajonia, I was living in this kind of sin, and every time I hear, I just cannot take it anymore. I have to confess that. All right, and thank God that teenager confessed that sin, and that was about 20 years ago. Okay, and later on she moved on. God blessed her, she married another Christian, and she moved on for the Lord, and she's serving the Lord right now. Okay, so don't underestimate the Word of God. And some of you have been broken by the Word of God before. You know what? I believe this. Every time we come to a service or a Sunday school, our hearts need to be so tender that God can break us every time we come. And the reason is not God doesn't want to break us, He wants to build us up. Okay, let's look at Hosea. Oh, Hosea chapter 6. And Jeremiah says the word of God is like a hammer. It will break, it can break the hardened heart. But let's look at Hosea chapter 6 and look at the purpose of the breaking. Hosea chapter 6 in the Old Testament, okay, it's actually the first of all the minor prophets, Hosea. Okay, I learned that because I've learned that in Bible knowledge at A-level. Okay, Hosea chapter 6, you have your Bibles, you just turn to that, okay, so that you can actually refer to that. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. Okay, I'll just read it, okay. Let's read together, for those who are ready, let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us, He hath smitten and He will bind us up. Okay? In verse 2, after 2 days will He revive us, in the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. When God wants to break us down so He can build us up. Okay? God doesn't want to break us down to make us look bad. That's not His purpose. We may look bad when He breaks us down, but that was never His purpose. We have to be very clear. Confession of sin is very important. I have one friend who always say, confession of sin is good for your soul, but bad for your reputation sometimes. But it's important, okay? So we have to deal with that, all right? So, but God's intention is to break us down so that He can build us up. All right, any questions? Okay, any questions? Okay, the next one is, okay, Bible immersion. Just very quickly, I need to go through this before we do the quiz. Okay? What we need as Christians is total Bible immersion. I can say that this is actually a problem with many modern-day Christians. We have a lot of Bible resources, but we seldom read the Bible. We need Bible immersion. If you want to be growing as a Christian, you need total Bible immersion. Okay? In other words, you need to basically swim in the Bible. You jump into a pool full of Bible verses, and you just keep going and keep... You study very hard for your exams, right? How much time do you put in a God's Word? Okay? You spend more time. If the amount of time you spend in your academic studies is the same as the amount of time you spend in your Bible, you'll be a very strong Christian. If you will not spend any time in your Bible, you will never grow as a Christian. Never. Okay? You'll just come to church because your parents tell you to. You'll just come to church because I think it's the right thing to do. But you know, when the crisis comes, you'll walk away from God. You need total Bible immersion. All right, you need to know your Bibles, okay? You need to establish a habit of daily reading, okay? For those who may need help, I really don't know who uses this, but there's a Bible reading schedule at the back. And if you don't have, you can actually start. You just read every day. I finish, I just tick, okay? You need to have a habit of daily Bible reading, not just Bible reading. Even for us, it's just start reading the Bible. Number two, you need to be faithful in church to hear the Bible taught and preached. Can I say for the Christian, the Bible attendance is not optional. It is compulsory. Because you will want... It's just like going to school. When you don't go to school, you need an MC, right? You know, if God requires MC of Christians, he would have a lot of... Why do Christians not want to come to church? It's just like a student who don't feel like going to school, and you know what kind of student that is. I'm very serious about that. Church... Every time we have an outing as a church or what, the Bible is my, I believe with all my heart, every meeting as a church, whether it's for barbecue or whatever, there must be the Word of God. Because it is essential for our spiritual growth. Okay? Faithful church attendance to hear. Okay? If we can neglect it for something else, our priority is never for God. And I want to challenge you with that because it's so important. All right? We need to memorize Bible verses. Okay? How many of you remember what I preached last week? How many of you actually remember what I preached last week? Which passage did I preach from? It should be so easy because I'm just going through Romans. But what's the key? What's the key point of message? You know how we forget? You know why? We forget the message last week. You know why? Because, I'll deal with it next week. I just tell you, because the heart was never set on receiving God's word. And the moment you leave this place, the devil comes with the blackbird and snatches the word away. You know why? Because God knows when the word of God is planted in your heart, it will bear fruit. So you know what the devil has to do? Take it away first. And you know what? He put cares of this world, he put movies, he put friends, he put sin to cover up so that you will never get the word of God. That's why as a Christian who wants to grow, we need the word of God. Okay? Any questions? Okay, last one is we need to base all decisions on the word of God. All decisions. If my decisions goes against the word of God, I will not make that decision. But Brother Johnny, we have a choice, right? Yes, you do. Okay? It's either you base your decisions on the word of God and be blessed, or don't base your decisions on the word of God and not have a blessed life. That's the only choice you have. Example, when's your exam? Are you sure? Sorry? Friday, right? Exam is on Friday, right? Next Friday. So this coming Friday, okay. So you have a choice to study for exams and pass or don't study and fail, right? Okay? So I don't like to study, okay? Look, then the natural consequence, you can choose. You can choose not to study, so you will fail. Full stop. Okay? In life, there's only two roads. Either we do the right thing or do the wrong thing. If we do the right thing, we study, we will. And God says, if you do the right thing and follow my word, you'll be blessed. But if you don't want to do the right thing and follow my word, then the outcome will be equal to what you put in your decisions, okay? Any questions? Okay, if not, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to learn of your word. So there are new things coming out, and I pray, Father, that we will be in your word. And Father, you teach us to devour your word, to love it, and to learn it. And I'm praying, Father, that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher. I pray everyone, Lord, will put in the effort to do this. Lord, yes, it will take some time. Yes, it will require us to shift our schedules a bit. But I pray, Father, that we'll always put you first, especially in the study of your word, in the reading of your word, in the writing of your word. Help us to be like faithful scribes, Lord, in the Old Testament, where they faithfully copied the word of God. So today we have the Old Testament. And I pray, Lord, that as we copy these words will become life to us too. Bless the service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.